Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
I'm Dan.
This is the Board Game Rundown. Today, we're going to talk about games we played, news, crowdfunding, and then like a short little topic because we're going to talk a little bit about Origins, and it's not going to be a lot.
I'm excited for a short topic because it means that I don't have to rush through the games I played this week like usual.
Sure. Yeah, we're going to do this will be a little front heavy more than back heavy like some of our episodes are. So anyways, games we played, guys.
Yep.
But wait.
I would wait for that.
Make sure you're liking and subscribing. Smash that subscribe button.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
the kids say these days, right?
Yeah, yes, hey, we're doing, actually, let's
we're
just
doing
comment.
Really good on that.
Let's just, while we're on that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just say, I am loving the people commenting on the videos, guys.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
It's nice.
And if you don't, if you're paying any attention, we try, one of us like tries to respond like relatively quickly.
Yeah,
yeah, it's mostly us.
If it takes a while,
to be honest,
if it takes a while to respond, that's usually because like one of us saw the comment and then we messaged and I was like, "Hey Tim, I think you'd respond to this better."
Right,
and then
he'll
talk, and so we try to respond to most comments.
Yes,
if I don't feel like I have anything constructive to add to the comment, then I might just not, or I might just say like, "Thanks." But like, I don't know what to say.
And
but
I don't even mind the snarky ones because you know you might get a little snark back.
We're snarky.
We snark back.
Yeah, we are. But it's all in good fun. I love the engagement. It makes me excited every time anybody comments.
Yeah, you guys have been awesome lately, having actual conversations back and forth with us. Again, we try to actually have a conversation back. This isn't just like, please comment, YouTube algorithm. You know,
No. Yeah, we
like talking.
We want to engage with you guys. And also, you can find us on Facebook. The group has been growing. I just want to let you know, I am terrible about like the welcome.
Welcome our new members.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry for
every
that.
Every time I sign into the Facebook, it says, "Did you know you can welcome the members?" I'm like, I know Facebook. I know.
Yeah, do it if you just do it. If you log in and it says that, just do it because me, I'm like, what? Anyways, so
old
thank you guys.
Hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So thank you guys for doing that. I really appreciate it. We're gonna actually pretty soon we're gonna start putting up some polls because we've got some like show ideas that we're tinkering with. And I'd really like to put some of that into your hands.
Yeah, we should have done one for this episode. I just thought about that. That'd be or not for this episode, for
the next
video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we could throw something up and then add it later.
Yeah.
So anyways, thank you so much, guys. It's awesome. Our growth has been really good and steady. I love Canvas is up over 1,000 now because I talked about that on the last episode.
Yeah,
you were here, but
I
it's
saw,
like it
I
was
watched.
Like it was
we
like
broke
three,
a thousand.
Three we off.
Broke
so we broke 1,000 on a video,
it's
guys.
So weird that it was a video Tim wasn't in though.
So I think that's our key element to
listen. We gotta pay attention to the algorithm,
yeah.
Tim. I'm sorry.
The audience has spoken.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm Bob.
Yes. Thank you, guys. It's really been a lot of fun so far. So, games we've played.
Right, yeah. I'll just start. Well, actually, you know what? I was going to start with an easy one, but I'm going to start with the digital ones, right?
Okay.
So,
okay.
Levi has been obsessed with Board Game Arena lately, and he's been trying. Bob, I think you'd love it, because you play the Axis and Allies and stuff to where it's like, I'll take one turn a week, right? Like, that kind of thing. That's Board Game Arena. You get online with random people, or like Levi likes just having a bunch of games open with friends.
Sure.
And you just take your turn, and then the game is paused until the next person takes their turn, right? And it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, first, Levi and I played Onitama. So it's a chess-like game, right? An abstract strategy chess-like game. I was interested because there's
abstract strategy.
Because it's super fast and easy to learn. Like, I mean, the game is literally a tiny grid with your pieces on it. Each have like 5 pieces, and then there's 5 cards in the game. These 2 cards are what I can move my pieces. Those 2 cards are what Levi can move, and then there's one in the middle. And whenever I use one of mine, mine swaps with the one in the middle. So every time you use a move, you know that the next 2 turns from now, your opponent could use that move. You're swapping moves back and forth.
Okay.
So you have to think ahead like that.
Sure.
And it's just super famous. I mean, it's known as one of the best 2-player games out there, especially abstract strategy. And we played it, and you know, again, it's abstract strategy. I didn't love it, but I can see why people like it. It's it's interesting. Again, it is a modernized chess. Let's take the idea of chess, simplify it, streamline it, and then add this interesting card mechanic where I move my guy diagonal 2, swap that out. Now I know that Levi's next move, he'll have to swap out the middle, and then he'll have the diagonal 2 move. Do I really want to give him it this early? Because then you have to think ahead. Okay, well, he's going to be able to do this. It's just interesting, right? So that's Onitama. And then, I lost my page. And then we played, 7 Wonders Duel. Okay. Levi had never played 7 Wonders Duel before, and I was like, I'll teach you. It's super easy. Went over it. It was a pretty close game. He barely beat me, but fantastic. Seven Wonders Duel is a great game. If you like Seven Wonders.
I like it more than Seven Wonders, to be honest.
I do too, but I haven't played Seven Wonders in a long time, sure. And it plays faster than Seven Wonders. So those two things combined makes me say I like it more. But yeah, just a simplified, streamlined version of Seven Wonders for just two players. And
even though it's simplified, there's still a lot of strategy.
Yeah, it's all the same strategy, honestly. Yeah. It's just the science thing is simplified. The war thing is simplified, right? And they just do really well. At simplifying that and the card system is just fantastic. I love that. Build a pyramid of face up, face down cards. Mm-hmm. If you take a card that uncovers a face down card, it flips. So now you don't know what card you're giving to your opponent on their turn. Just very interesting stuff going on in that game. Board Game Arena, Levi, if you make an account, Levi will probably play with you. He's dying to play with people.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my digital ones.
Okay. I guess my digital ones are more Magic
Ascension
the Gathering.
And Magic.
And Ascension. And Dice Legacy, which isn't technically a board game. But.
But, board game adjacent.
Yeah. Board game adjacent.
It probably will be a board game eventually.
Yeah, probably. Are we going to get into real IRL games? Games you played in real life?
I had a couple
life?
Of digital
Oh,
ones.
You got some digitals.
Yeah. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. In the airport, I had my iPad.
Oh, right.
I got to play Axis and Allies online with that, which is nice.
See?
and some Spirit Island.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, yeah, it plays pretty good on the iPad. So
okay, what's next?
Kind of handy. That was the only digital games I played.
No, I was just skipping over Spirit Island.
Oh.
honestly, at that point, my thing starts at just one.
Okay, yeah. Let's get into just one. We had the funniest just one moment that has ever happened.
We collapsed.
It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
So we're playing like...
This one has a lot of collapse moments, but like this was an amazing collapse
moment. We were playing like an 8-player round of just one.
First of all, it only plays up to 7, so Tim just had a whiteboard.
Yeah. Well, because we were going to play another game we're going to talk about in a minute that also used dry erase. And I was just writing down. It's just one. Who cares? Yeah.
Exactly. Right? It's a convention game. Play with 800 people. Who cares?
Yeah.
Everything will get canceled.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But anyways, we had like 3 people wrote down the same word. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we gave the person all the clues, and they're looking, and they're thinking,
and they're thinking.
So Big Dan was one of the people whose clue got eliminated. So he erased his board because he's like, put it down, right? Put his little thing down. And so the person's like thinking. They guessed wrong.
Right.
And then Levi so dramatically was like, whoa, hold on. Before anybody says anything. Would this clue have helped? And he flips up the blank tray with no idea that it's blank. We all fall down laughing. And Levi's still like...
because he can't see it. We're all laughing. And he's like, what?
So there's like a 3-second delay before he realizes.
It's just so dramatic of like, would
how about now?
This have helped? Nope. And obviously, the person who was trying to guess too didn't know what they were about to see. So he says that. He flips up a blank and they're like, would what help?
So good.
Nice.
It was so good. Oh, it was amazing. I loved it. That was like my favorite just one.
I'm crying.
Next to the very first time when I played, when my sister and brother-in-law and Dave Brinkman and a whole bunch of them like walked up to them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, this is...
And they all wrote random words.
Yeah,
and you're trying to figure out what's the answer, and there wasn't one.
There was not one. There was no actual word. They were just messing with me, which I love. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. So yeah, just one was pretty great. I was involved in that game. It's pretty awesome.
I was involved.
Bob, you got one? We could just kind of bounce back and forth.
Other than the games we all played
together,
I only played one game.
Yeah, go for it.
War Room.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big game, but...
Well, you played half of a game, right?
Yeah, like 3 turns, and it took about 3 hours for 3 turns. But I was teaching people.
Crazy.
Was it just you and Justin?
No, it was me and Justin and Brandon, because it was going to be just the two of us. We weren't sure if Brandon was going to be able to make it, but he did. So I gave them... We're playing the Pacific Theater. Mm-hmm. So I gave them America, China, and Britain, mm-hmm. and then I took Japan. And man, like, you only get 9 commands. It's one of my favorite things about the game is that you have... simultaneous like hidden movement, right? You program your movements, you put
kinda
down the
like
stack.
Diplomacy. Yeah.
Kinda, yeah. So you put the stack number and then where you want them to go. And then you bid oil. And then turn orders determined by how much oil you bid. And then
And then stack number is your priority?
Well, no, the stack number, because you have all the different units in a stack, right?
Oh, okay.
And then you've got a cap
on
top.
How many guys you're going to move out of that stack?
Well, no, because you move, because say you have that whole stack, and then you have a flag on top that says the 86. So it's like the 86th Battalion.
Right. Exactly.
So you're like, okay, so the 86th Battalion is moving to this one. Yes, and use your little command staff to push the stack around.
I want to play so bad, but I want to play like 3 rounds.
Yeah. Well, and what was really cool is like I had put out like one of my big fleets towards America, right? And so Justin, I kind of like pulled back a little bit to not come and help. And then it was like a feint, right? And I ended up pulling back, destroying everything they had in the area. And now there's like, they have almost no Navy.
Did you Pearl Harbor the United States?
I did not. So, but the thing is, he kind of converged everything in that because he thought I was going to go that way.
Right.
And instead of coming to help Britain, and now I'm just getting ready to annihilate Australia. So yeah, it's pretty
it's
awesome.
A penal colony.
It's yeah,
playing against no, playing against a bunch of noobs, and he's doing this.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I move it out there. He's like, if I think you're coming here, I should move guys back to defend. I go, if you think I'm coming there, you should be moving guys back to defend.
If that's what you think,
yeah.
But a good teacher would then say, but remember, I might be faking.
That's true.
Right. A good teacher would have
said
that.
Exactly. Well, I mean, like.
So it's still set up. It's still set up, and you guys are hoping to go back to it.
Yeah,
like,
it's still set up there on top of the hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're hoping next Saturday to get back there and finish it. If Brandon can't make it, Justin said his wife would sit in.
Okay, cool.
What time do you guys do it?
We started yesterday at like 1 because that was our window.
Okay.
So we're going to start at 6
p.m.
Next Saturday.
He's out.
I can't play, obviously, but one of the times you've been playing Warm, I've wanted to just come and watch for a bit.
I mean, depending on what time you get off of work, you could maybe.
4 to midnight.
I mean, I'd still be up for it. I don't know if they might pass out by then.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
War Room looks like an experience.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many units, and I only get 9 commands. So it's like first
like
couple
per round, you're saying.
Yeah
correct. Okay. You get nine
so you can
commands,
only move nine of your stacks.
Yeah, so it's like you got to spend a couple of turns kind of getting things together, you know,
you're
like
right.
Making larger armies that you can then move with one command.
I know it's not, but I have to ask this. Is there anything like the Enigma code in that game?
No, like the being able to crack their...
Yeah, being able to figure out some kind of espionage.
No.
That would just be so cool.
That would be pretty cool.
That could break the game, too.
Like oh, yeah, I get to know one of your things.
Even just which unit got an order. I don't know
right.
what they're doing,
oh, yeah.
but that unit
radio
got
signal
something.
Has come
yeah.
into this zone.
Something
you
like
know
that
something in the zone is moving somewhere.
And it's not
somewhere.
Like you start with the Enigma code broken,
sure.
but there's something you,
like
you
could
be doing
could
that's
evaluate.
Working. Yeah, like
well,
a
well, an even better way, though, is that... There's things that make it a truth or a lie. So you don't.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You can do false.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so War Room.
Let's make a more really complicated
version.
Game
I just think that'd be a cool expansion.
That's
very
cool.
Amazing.
The Enigma Code.
Nightingale Games. It's Larry Harris. He was the one that developed Axis and Allies, mm-hmm. and he's making a new one. And it's going to be more in a fantasy world, not necessarily World War II.
Nice.
Like most of
that's
so
interesting. So he's taking his well-made ideas and gameplay, but he's taking it into a theme he can do anything with.
Correct.
So that's
yeah.
interesting. He doesn't have to be historically accurate.
Exactly.
Stuff,
so. Yeah. I'm excited for that.
So many possibilities.
I know.
All right, Daniel, what you got next?
Next thing I've written
down.
Because
we're going to have a lot of overlap, and then he
yep,
might have a few
I think it's
me.
The right order. So Escape, the Aliens from Outer Space.
Yes. Nice. So Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space.
Hidden Movement.
Everybody's got their own dry erase board. We're all on the same map.
Mm-hmm.
You are randomly a human or an alien. We played with the asymmetric powers.
Nice.
And
I didn't even know you could play without them. I'm very glad we played with them.
Yeah, you want to use them. If you've got people that know how to play games.
Honestly, I liked the game, but even with all that stuff, it's still a pretty boring game overall. Like, especially
not a lot
we were
going
playing
on.
An 8-player game, so it's just like a lot of just sitting there, you know?
Still fun,
like, Levi loves the game, and after the game, he was like, that felt kind of dry. Like, he's like, I probably won't play with that many players again.
That was a lot of players.
I like 4 to 5, I think, on that.
Yeah. And I think that's a winning combination of players. But it was pretty fun. We had some wild things happen. Again, Levi, it was his.
Oh, yeah. He had a funny. I can't even remember right now.
I can tell you exactly what happened. Yeah. So we're all moving around. Nobody's really sure who is what. And Levi moves to a spot where Jesse is. And it's like, I'm attacking G10, right? And Jesse flips over his card. He's the brute alien, cannot die. And we're like, he's dead. And then he's like, well, you're dead unless you're the pilot and can teleport out of there. And Levi flips his card over and goes, I'm the pilot. And I
teleport out of there.
Because it was either going to be, because when you attack, you can only attack if you're the alien unless you're the soldier, which you have to reveal that you're the soldier, or you've got an item card that allows you to attack.
Yeah.
And this game's really tough because when you attack, if you're an alien and you kill a human, the human becomes an alien.
Yep.
But if you're an alien and you kill an alien, that is player elimination.
One less alien.
Right. Same thing with a human killing an alien, right?
Yes. Correct. And a human killing an alien eliminates an alien. So Jesse, though, then just played the dumbest game of Escape from Aliens in Outer Space.
Love you, Jesse.
I've ever seen.
I wasn't part of this.
Anybody?
It was hilarious to watch, though.
And I say this because Jesse is smarter. He's a smart player, but he was not this time. So all of my movements showed that I was like moving around this
one area.
This one specific.
He was clearly circling an escape
pod. I was circling an escape pod. And they're like, so why is he just circling an escape pod?
You know, you're an alien.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
But I did not say it out loud because there was still some doubt between some of the players whether or not.
Even after your confusing movement, I was still like, I don't know what Tim's doing. I'm going to be honest.
Right. Because it's like, well, maybe he wants somebody to draw the busted escape pod card first because there's only one, right?
Sure. But so, I wouldn't be gambling that.
But anyways. But anyways, Jesse then proceeds to just try to hunt me down and kill me.
Wait, by the way, at this point, Jesse was already the revealed alien who had been attacked by Levi.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I'm just like,
I would have tried to get Jesse's attention somehow. Like,
yeah,
it took him like four more turns to find and kill me because then by the end it was basically done. But we did have some good shenanigans and some hijinks.
Levi had another really funny thing at the very beginning that you probably don't remember, which was, and it wound up, you know, whatever.
Oh, because he kept asking questions about.
Well, he basically said he spawned by the alien. Like, you know, like he said a number that was by the alien spawn. So either he pulled a card that let him lie about his movement or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Spencer, same thing over there. The only human that can spawn in the alien is the philosopher or psychiatrist, something like that. Psychiatrist. And we were going like, oh, well, one of them's an alien, one of them's a psychiatrist at this point. And like we were, and then later on in the round, we were talking about Spencer, and we were like, I just don't know if he's a psychiatrist. And Levi said, I think he's the psychiatrist. And we said, that means you're an alien. And he goes, he literally was like, oops.
What's funny though is that he wasn't an alien. He was a pilot. Alien. He would just lied so badly.
Yeah, he got trapped in the bad memory of his own lie. So funny.
So it was just a wild. So I mean, yeah, the game got dry at times because it took a while because there was also there was a huge gap where Spencer didn't realize it was his turn.
Oh, really?
Because he was talking, and it's
gotcha.
Like, and so then after that happened, it's like, remember. It's your turn. Like, right. He was right next to me, and it's just like, it's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn. Like, every time, I made sure. And then, so like, the side of the table across from me wasn't so bad, but then like, when it went from Spencer to Jesse, there was one time where Jesse didn't realize it was his turn.
I was a little slow after Caleb, too, just because that was also partly, though, because Caleb was hunting me, and I was paying really close attention to everything Caleb was doing, and then I'd be like, sitting there after his move, and I'd be calculating, I'd be like, oh, sorry, it's my turn.
I don't, you know? I don't mind that if you're taking a minute to take your turn, I just need you to know that it's your turn.
Correct.
Yeah, to know you're taking everyone's time. Yes. And you're just wasting time.
And that happened at least twice where we probably lost 5 minutes, like solid 5 minutes, because like it's like, okay, well, you know, clearly they're thinking really hard about it. And it's like, oh, it's my turn. And it's like, ugh, for crying out loud, get Bleeps the cat out, because I got a lot to say when that happens. But anyways, overall, it was a pretty good game. The humans won because they got two out of the
Spencer
four.
Spencer and I got out.
Yeah.
And Spencer
did a really good job because he was way far away from everybody else.
He got the luckiest cards in the last couple rounds because his movement made a path that made perfect sense going up and to the left on the right side of the board. And he wound up escaping on the left escape pod. So he just pulled a bunch of cards that allowed him to draw a perfect
path. And so Caleb is like basically patrolling north and south, right? As Spencer is just running west on this. And then I got killed because I was running from Jesse down in the southwest corner.
I tend to try to do like two courses, right? Like one I'm actually going, and then one plot of course
exactly.
I don't go.
Yeah. I am wondering if I ran into a kind of a broken combination. I don't know if people actually care in that game, but I had a weird situation where I got kind of lucky with my cards. I was making my way. Like I said, Caleb was hunting me. It was very obvious he was an alien. It was very obvious I was a human. And he was hunting me down pretty hard. And it got towards the end of the game, and I couldn't
lose. He was the soldier.
Because I was the soldier and I had a defense card. Meaning, if an alien attacked me, which means the alien has to be on my position, at least with the aliens that were in that game, had to be on my position. He attacks me, I flip over the defense card, and I don't die. I am then directly after Caleb in order.
No, you have to move, though, and then use your action.
No.
Oh, you can use your action
at
any time.
It counts as a card,
turn.
Which means it can be used at any time.
That's right.
So I could have flipped over my card, not died. My turn is directly after Caleb's. Shoot Caleb. And I knew that. Caleb was the one chasing me the entire run. I could have just been telling the truth the whole time about where I was walking because it didn't matter.
Well, it does matter though, because once you use that shield, it's gone. There's one in the deck.
Right, but because of turn order and everything, what I'm saying is I could have killed Caleb right back. And I knew that you and Jesse were in the other corner.
Right. But I'm saying that you needed circumstances to line up the way they did, which is why it's not a broken.
Yeah, I'm just saying, in that specific circumstance, I just felt broken and overpowered.
Sure.
It's not like it's something that's going to happen every game.
Oh, yeah, it totally ruined your gameplay experience.
No, it was a fun game. Again, I said it was a little slow, you know.
Too high of a player count.
Yeah.
I think five, maybe six.
Depending on the six.
It's also definitely a game that when I play it, I want, this is another Wolves of Mercia, I want an atmosphere. I want the lights dimmed. I want music playing, right? That's that kind of
creepy
game.
There was some corridor walking sounds. Creepy.
There was some fun tension at times, though.
There was tension the whole game. Again, even me, who was like halfway through the game, I got that combo. It's still the hunt. You feel that hunt. It felt really cool.
It was neat. All right, what...
I'm in our game night and stuff, obviously. So,
yep.
Let's see. Next is we played Antidote, which Tim just watched.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm gonna.
He was about
take
to head
off.
Out.
Yeah.
But also Levi, Dan, Spencer, Dan, played Antidote, a little deduction card game, kind of the basic idea of Clue, right? So there's like eight different formulas. They all have what is it like 2 through 4, 1 through 4,
something like that.
1 through 4. And then an X. And the X is the one you need to find. So at the beginning of the game, one of the X's is removed from the game. Then the rest of the cards are dealt out between the people, and you're basically on your turn passing cards back and forth or playing cards in front of you, and you're trying to figure out which X isn't in the game. And then at the end of the game, you want to have the highest card of that thing. So if the light green X is out of the game, you want the 4 of light green. You drink the strongest antidote for the poison. The basic theme is you're all scientists. A beaker breaks in the lab, and we got to find the antidote for this thing. We're all dying. And I like the theme. I like the cards. I like the deduction. It's definitely, again, not like my favorite game of all time, right? But when Levi was like, we could play Antidote, I was like, yeah, sure. I like, or Spencer might have said it, whatever. I was like, yeah, sure. I like Antidote. It's fun. And we played with I want to say asymmetric powers, but they're more like they change each player's win conditions.
Yeah, it makes it more like two booms in a room where you got like, oh, I need to finish with you. Or
right. So like I got the one called Juliet, which is I win if the person to my left and I both drink the antidote. It doesn't even have to be the highest antidote or anything. It's just I win if we both drink the antidote, which made the game so much fun for me because basically all the X's I was getting, I was just passing... Eyeglasses. I was just passing to Levi.
Couldn't see him there.
And exactly. And I just kept giving Levi everything he needed to know. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I don't really need him, but thanks. Everything he needed to know because I was just trying to make sure he got out too. And it completely changed the game. I loved it. And then Levi was like, why is he helping me so much?
Yeah.
So he kept giving me like syringes back so that I could like steal cards from people's hands and stuff. So we were like accidentally helping each other. Well, he was actually helping me back a lot.
Yeah.
Just really interesting. Antidote's a fun, super cheap card game. I suggest checking it out if you like the sound of that. Mm-hmm. Do you have your list or do you want me to keep going? Because it's the same list.
It's the list we just played today, right?
You're right. I have one more because I talked about this before the show. I tried Marvel United Solo.
Oh, right.
So I wanted to get it done. I wanted to get it played finally. And I was just alone. I didn't have anyone I could get a hold of for that day. And I was like, I'm sure this game plays super fast. I'm just going to set it up solo. And I need to learn it anyway. So I read the book while listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. And then I set up the game and I played it. And I enjoyed it. Again, for a family weight game, I could totally see.
It's really light, but it's really difficult.
Right.
Which is a weird combination.
I was kind of trying to explain this to them earlier to where it's super easy. It's like on your turn, you play a card, and then that card and the card previous activate. So if this was a move, and then I played two punches, I can move and do two punches in whatever order I want. And then that's my turn. And then that's it. And then we just have to get the villain's health to zero. We have to complete two missions, which then we can hurt the villain, get his health to zero. He wins at the fear track. I played against Red Skull because it said for your first game, play against Red Skull. He wins if the fear track gets to 20. So the thing is, super easy game. I'm just completely objectives, beating him up. But then every three cards that come out, one of his cards flips and comes out. And it's just random what's going to happen. He's going to move around the board and interact with stuff. And that fear track goes up fast. You're just like, oh, man, okay, I can see. So it's weird that what you're doing and your goal is super easy. But then what he's doing, what his goal is super easy. So it's kind of just this race to the finish line. Can we get the 6 health off of him or 8 health off him before he can get the – because I wound up winning, but I won with like 15 or 16 out of 20 fear. Like I was like, maybe one more card could have ended the game for him, one or two more cards. And so
when you play with multiple players, it's really interesting because like the previous player's move affects your move.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the existing card.
Exactly. Because remember, you activate the card before, too. So he's going to be like, I want to play a move this turn. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to be able to do anything with a move on my turn, and I'm after you. Right? That kind of thing.
So there's this real balance of trying to
It's really interesting in solo, because in solo, you pick three heroes, and you shuffle all their decks together. And then you have a hand of 5 cards.
Okay.
And you whatever card you play is the hero that activates. So I only have Hulk and Iron Man in my hand. I'm have to activate Hulk or Iron Man. I can't activate Captain America, right? And so, yeah, that's a very interesting way of doing the solo
Not
mode.
Bad.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, this is kind of weak. Like, they just like, how do we turn this game solo? It was kind of like how it felt.
Smash
and then I played it, and I was like, oh, that played well, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, Marvel United, it's at every big box store and FLGS and stuff.
Everywhere.
It's easy to find is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
And it's for a family way game. I wasn't sure what I was getting into. I'd play this again with not solo, with my family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on.
We're in today's list now.
Today's list. We started off today by playing Whitehall Mysteries.
Just mystery?
Mystery.
I say mysteries all the time. I'm
Whitehall
Mystery. Head, but it's just Whitehall Mystery.
So this
just
is one mystery. This is Letters from Whitechapel Light.
Light. L-I-T-E.
Yeah.
Tim, how'd that go for you, Tim?
Honestly, I'll say this though. So it plays 2-4 pretty well. Yeah. And also it plays in like 8 minutes.
I got caught early. Well, let me tell you though. Let me tell you what. And this is no joke.
Let me tell you what.
Seriously, despite like, and I was trying to be slick, and Bob,
right.
Bob called it.
Yeah, you tried to get too cocky the turn that Bob called your cocky.
And what I should have done is what you suggested. I should have coached or something. So this goes into this theory, this scientific theory with game study that I really need to actually like apply because it's real. Is things in your zone, right?
They were behind your shield.
So the closer stuff is to you, the more likely you are to use those things. So on a game board, if there's a place where you can place workers farther away, you are less likely to select that space because it's further away. You're going to interact with the stuff that's closer to you. It's a psychological thing, right?
I think it depends on the game, too, though.
I don't think it depends on the game. I think that's 100% true, but the thing is, the part of your brain that is tactical will override that if necessary.
Okay, I'm saying, if it's a game I know, and
but instinctively, right, if you're just kind of going, right, you're interacting with the stuff that's closest to you in your you know, there's levels to the zones, right?
Okay.
So I had my special move markers just off and kind of behind my screen and was not really looking at them at using them at all and not even considering them, which is a huge flaw because
they're powerful.
When a game designer gives you a mechanic to use, you should use it.
Would anyone ask if you're a god?
You say yes.
Say yes.
And I did not use it. It was at my own peril. but I will say this, though. I thought that game was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the bones of the game. It's that over and over again.
100%. Like, I would almost not, like, throw out my letters from Whitechapel, but I would want to play Whitehall Mystery, especially if we've got 4 players, or was it 5?
No, it's 4, and that's definitely the one issue with it is Whitechapel plays up to 8, I think. It's really 6. High. Are you sure? Maybe with the expansion.
It's 6. Maybe with the expansion.
Maybe
with
the expansion.
Because there's 5 investigators and then Jack.
Gotcha. I think the expansion adds at least one more player. But anyway, it's definitely for the bigger player count.
Right. Right. But you know, we talk about it all the time. I really like streamlined and faster games. Even if I would not have got caught on that turn, that game was going by fast.
Right. I just liked it. So in Whitechapel, which I loved, I played it for the first time not too long ago.
Letters from Whitechapel is an amazing and most excellent.
Excellent. Is a thing, though, where in Whitechapel, you know, you do your kill, you have to make it back to your hideout, then there's, like, the courtesans, what are they called? Wenches.
Wenches.
Then there's the wenches that you do, and then the wrenches. Police have to redo their spawns, and Jack has to do his spawn and everything. And in this game, it's like Jack starts at a murder, and then he gets the next murder, and the track restarts. That's it. Yeah. That's the mid-round.
Yeah, there's no like night over,
exactly,
reset,
yeah,
and
right,
then build anticipation.
The reset, yeah, phase is literally slide Jack's thing back,
yeah,
to zero.
Yeah.
And that,
well, look,
is just
another red chip.
Now,
I will say
Letters from Whitechapel is going to give you a more thematic experience.
Yes. It's more realistic to the...
Well, they are both based on a thing, though. The whole point... So Letters from Whitechapel is when he did all the murders around Whitechapel, right?
Correct.
And Whitehall Mysteries is specifically the Whitehall murders, which is when he was... They were finding body parts. So in this game, they aren't murders. You're finding body parts in the four locations. He is literally going around dropping off body parts as clues on purpose to taunt the police.
Right.
They are both based on things. They're just different things,
so,
for sure. And one is straight.
But I really, you know, despite my flub, I thought it was a great game.
Right.
Honestly,
if we didn't have more to do, I wanted to immediately play it again because we literally, I'm not kidding, we played for like 8 minutes.
I could have played it again. We were trying to do some other
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, I would have sat down and played it again. No griping about this again. Yeah. Like whatever.
Sure.
Would have totally done it again. And
yeah, and I can totally see though the 45-minute timer on that box. It seems pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim got half the game done basically in the 8 minutes or whatever.
Because I did get two.
Like, yeah, you start on the first kill. He got to the second.
Technically, you got the second one done.
I definitely got it done.
He got the second one done and then turned around and got clotheslined by a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get in this car and drive away. If I'd have done that, I would have.
Well, the problem is you got into the back seat of a
cop car. Yeah. Quick, get out of here. I'm trying to get away from the cops.
Yeah.
Oh.
Step on it.
I felt like Levi. Well, would you catch me if I did this?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Oh, no, that's not helpful. But yeah, so Whitehall Mystery.
Yep.
Really good. Look it up. We will have a review of that soon because we're going to have to play that again.
We need to play it.
Actually, yeah. Play through it. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, great time.
Excellent. Next, we played something a bit familiar.
Woo! Mind Management.
Yes. Mind Management right there.
Oh, man. I love Mind Management. Bob's not as hot on it.
Bob was a little, yeah, but yeah. Again, one play.
It was one play.
We'll see what happens. But,
It's got a lot of elements that I really like.
Again,
the components, the board, the cards.
The components are freaking amazing.
Now
Sorry.
It's deluxe edition, but yes.
Okay, yeah. Like the box and like the dual like
not
pictures. Okay. Yeah, the game trays inside, the bits, the little brain piece, like the components are really good. I was just underwhelmed with the gameplay.
I'll say though, Bob, in your kind of defense, I talked about this in the review, I do prefer the Whitechapel games.
Yeah.
I do. But I do see that Mind Management is great. I'm definitely more warm on Mind Management than you are from that first play.
Mm-hmm.
Like I totally see, I like this. I like this. I like this. It's just mainly the aesthetic and theme of Whitechapel. I love that blotted look. Like, oh man, that box from Letters from Whitechapel might come up later because I love that look, that ink blot, messy look, whatever that is. I think it's called chalk paint, but that's just what I've heard. I don't know if Jeff knows what I'm talking about.
But So we played Mind Management.
Yeah, check out the review. Hidden Movement game. Pretty good.
Yeah, the hidden mover, the secret
recruiter.
The recruiter is playing Snake.
Yeah, he's playing
map,
Snake, which
trying to hit locations.
I like that a lot.
And I made a huge mistake, surprise, surprise, managed to win. I crossed over. I didn't cross over my tail. I crossed over a mayhem token.
I was just, I had to make a bad joke.
Because if I crossed over my tail, I would have lost.
Right. That would have been cool, too.
That would have
been twice in a row.
Yeah, but I won. I won. It was tough, but
I
won.
It was close. We knew where he was at the end, but we couldn't catch up at that point.
Yeah, he had one of the immortal guys there, and you can't arrest him.
Exactly, right. And then he only needed two more, which he was able to get.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kept the immortal guy there on purpose. Yeah. It's like, okay, they can't move him, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, yeah, Mind Management. I'm a big fan. I look forward to playing it more because we're unlocking
other
stuff.
That's super cool too, right? So like you play the game and then whoever wins whoever loses gets like an unlock to help boost their side.
Yes.
And they're in like little cases, like the game trays in there.
And it's got a little comic that you can read,
If you guys have played, really neat.
If you guys have played Mind Management, let us know in the comment section how your games have been going, because we've played four games now and I believe the recruiter has won every game.
Every single
one. So I'm wondering if that's just that our game group is really good at playing behind the shield. We've played a lot of games like that before. Or if that's just the game seems a little balanced that way and you're going to need to buff. Like, so we've now opened two boxes for the rogue agents.
Because we waited... we waited before we started opening the shift.
Right. We didn't do it for the training mission, obviously. And then we didn't do it for the first game because we didn't know if that was a fluke or not.
Right.
Right. So the rogue agents have lost and opened two boxes now. And I'm just wondering if that seems to be a global thing at the beginning of the game. It's slightly bounced this way. And then as the rogue agents unlock stuff, that bounce is going to turn.
Yeah.
Or if that's just us. You know, I'm genuinely wondering that. Or not even, I shouldn't say, oh, we're just really good at behind the shield stuff. Maybe we just suck at not being behind the shield, huh? Six and one half dozen the other.
You know, what was it? The White Hall Mysteries, the front of the shield was...
Spot on.
Right. Yeah,
like, no, Jeff, arrest right
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, if it wasn't for the quarterback
Alpha
over there.
Right.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, I mean, who won? Okay.
Doesn't make it right.
That doesn't make it right.
You're right.
But Jeff still had fun winning, right, Jeff? You got a thumbs up.
Yeah. Our bouncing mechanic is just Bob.
Jeff never wins.
Our bouncing mechanic is just Bob goes, okay, Jeff, I think you should go here. Then he goes behind the shield and goes, Tim, I think you should probably do this.
Balance yeah. is all things should be.
Yeah. And then the last game I guess we're going to talk about is Dice Miner.
Dice Miner. So, a really young die.
There goes my joke.
So the dwarves have come out of the mountains, abandoned their mines, and are having a good time. And then dragons show back up, and now they've got to get back into the mountains. And there's a lot of really neat stuff that is involved in the game. You got like this whole tray that holds all the die in a mountain shape. And so when you're basically drafting die, right? You're picking die off of the mountain. Yep. And you can only pick die that have like, the top layer, right? It's got like two sides exposed, uncovered dice. And depending on the die, they give you different things for scoring. They might give you rerolls. You might get a beer, which you can give to somebody else and go, cheers, and then you get to take two dice.
Two other dice.
Yeah, I feel bad. I totally forgot. I never said cheers the whole game, and I felt bad.
So you don't win then. Erase your points.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Bob won.
I did.
Big time.
He didn't say cheers either.
I did, too.
He said, Jeff, take your
die.
I did. No, I roll it every time. I said, cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you were rolling it for Jeff then. That's not the rules. Cheater.
So I win.
You know what? I'll give it to Bob.
All right, yeah, see.
But Dice Miner. It's right here. Small box. We've got a review of it coming.
Right there.
I'm going to say there's a lot of bang for your buck in that box for a lighter family weight game.
Yep. Right? Entertaining.
That's a fair assessment I think we'd all agree on.
Yes. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Dice Miner.
Dice Miner.
That's the last one?
I think that's it, man.
Right. That's a lot of games.
Bizarre.
It's a lot of games, but I'm going to say that we're going to be like topic light today.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
The games are more.
Yeah.
You know what I also am? News light.
News light?
So
okay.
On to news.
Yeah, let's do news.
I got a bit of news.
Take it from here, boys.
All right. So we just talked a little bit about it. Game Trays, right? That company, everybody knows Game Trays. They've been involved with 150 plus games. They're going to have a game coming to Kickstarter. They're going to do their own game.
I didn't know
this. Yeah. See, I'm going to get more of my details here. So it's called Forsaken.
Now, wait, who's going to do their insert? Don't say Broken Token.
Well, then I guess I won't say anything. No, they're going to be all over it, right? So it's what's really caught me on this is when they said it's going to be a epic sci-fi western sandbox game. Gave me real like Firefly vibes, right? Sci-fi western. I'm like, okay,
western.
Yeah. So I meant to look up this guy. Yeah, developed by Michael Malesic. I'm not sure how to.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but Game Trays Lab is going to be their division that does their games and whatnot. It's coming to Game Trays Plastics will be featured as not only the tool for storage but an interactive and essential element of play.
Interesting.
So super interesting. Coming to Kickstarter sometime next year. So keep watching the show, and we'll have more on that when it comes out.
I'll tell you, if this game looks good when the Kickstarter page comes up, I swear on my pretty blue bonnet, I will buy you.
Nice. I love it.
So. USAopoly.
Okay.
Has the Goonies escape with One-Eyed Willy's rich stuff.
Nice.
So this is a Goonies game that is now up for pre-order.
Okay.
I don't know like everything you do except you can be like one of the kids, you know, or even Sloth as you're trying to. Oh, so it's an at-home escape room style game.
Okay, so that's different than the other Goonies game that came out a while ago.
Yes. Okay. So this is more of like an escape room kind of thing, which means I don't know if that means you can only play it once.
Right. I'm sure you're like kind of puzzles like they had to do, right? Like triple stones and play the bones.
It's not an escape game though, right? Escape.
Oh, okay.
It's escape.
The big escape looks
kind of like the
but it's not
Survive
that.
Atlantis or Escape Atlantis.
Right, that's what I was checking.
Because they don't make USopoly.
Right.
USopoly doesn't make those games. That's what I meant to say. So they're saying, I don't know if this is true, but limited quantities are available, so pre-order.
I mean, it's not Steam on. It could be true.
Could be true. But, I mean, that's kind of like my big news. Origins is going on. We'll discuss that a little bit in the topics.
Okay.
In the topic. So, I mean, kind of news light. Not a ton of stuff. That's fine. I think all the big announcements came out at Gen Con.
Yeah, exactly. We had such a big news week last time. What's there to even talk about now? The world's over.
World has
ended. We'll get it. I'll save it for the topic. Okay, so any other news?
No, man.
Crowdfunding?
That's pretty much mine. Yeah, sure, crowdfunding.
So, Bob, I'm not going to step on your obvious one.
Because you already saw me back it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I backed it already.
That one?
Voidfall.
Yeah.
Mind Clash Games. Yeah. That
so they made Tricarion and Anachrony.
Anachrony, one of my favorite games.
And Cerebria, which we still
need to play. If Mind Clash sent you an email
that
had no pictures or anything, it just said, our new game will be on Kickstarter. Press here to back now.
Would I do it?
Would you back it?
Does it? Oh, and it has the name.
Depends
David,
on how much it is.
David Turtsey.
Then
involved.
Yeah.
Oh, and, David Turtsey.
Then
I'm in.
Then I'm in.
Yeah.
Man, I love so many of his games. So yeah. Competitive mode, cooperative mode, solo mode.
4X. Right? It's Euro style space game.
Yes, 4X game, 1 to 4 players. The brings that genre to Euro enthusiast. Combines tension, player interaction, a deep empire customization. With resource management, tight decisions, minimal luck, and an economic euro.
So it sounds more Eclipse-y.
Yes, it does seem more Eclipse-y.
I haven't played either. I've just watched it a lot. Eclipse, everyone says, is Euro Twilight Imperium.
Okay.
So this sounds Eclipse-y.
But yeah, it's going gangbusters, though. So they've got all types of unlocking over there, dual layer boards, yada, yada, yada. Like, get over there and check them out. It's almost over $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, it's
pretty awesome.
Right, it's Mind Clash.
It's crazy.
It's Mind Clash.
It's
going to be crunchy.
It's going I was about to say it's going to be super crunchy.
Yep.
It's going to be pretty.
Yep.
It's going to be
Ian O'Toole.
Yeah. And the art, a lot of it by Ian O'Toole.
Yeah.
She does a lot of great art for Eagle Griffin Games and whatnot. Right?
Those, who's your On Mars escape? Who is that designer?
Vital Lacerda.
Yeah, Lacerda. He does a lot of Lacerda
work
stuff.
With him, so yeah. So. Yeah, which leads to normally really good iconography that's like good throughout the game. So like once you learn it, you can see it on the map somewhere. You get an idea of what that's.
Right, lot of
be.
Iconography, yeah. Which is where the crunchy comes from.
Sure,
but good iconography when you get it, you got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Looking good. Any other ones you guys want to talk about?
I got one.
Of course.
Go for it.
Well, the first one I'll mention, I don't have a bunch of information on this, but this came out of nowhere to me. I got like one of those Facebook ads, and I was like, what? Do you guys see Tiles of the Arabian Nights?
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for you to talk about this.
I saw the ad, but I didn't look at it.
Yeah. So it's Tales of the Arabian Nights, but they turned into like a 30-minute tile game where you're collecting these tiles. Basically, you have little hidden cards, and the cards tell you what tiles you need to collect to build a story. And as you're collecting those tiles, you're making up the story. So we could have 3 tiles that are the same on our cards, but the way we collect them, the order we collect them, and it's like, oh, I found a magic carpet which led me to an ancient temple and I stole the golden necklace. And you could be like, I found a golden necklace that, like, you know,
sure.
I mean, that's a very rudimentary example, but you see what I'm saying? And so just a 30-minute tile placement game. So it's by Holy Grail Games, 2 to 5 players, 30 minutes, like I said, goes till October 14th, and it's only $45, but because of a lot of tiles,
sure,
right? But I don't know much more than that. I haven't actually looked at the whole thing yet because unfortunately I'm not gonna be able to get it, so I don't want to get too excited, but
right.
I mean, I already have Tales and Smursh on the way,
right?
It came out of nowhere. I was like, Tales of the Arabian Nights, and the same art style and then the same storytelling.
I meant to message you about it, and then I was like, there's no way Dan doesn't already know
about and
this.
I was gonna bring it up, and I was like, they know that I know like at this point, but taking the biggest thing that people have with Tales of the Arabian Nights, it's random, sure, but you're going for random kind of in a game like that. The biggest problem people have is it can be like a 2-hour game, and it's like, do I really want to play a storytelling game for 2 hours? So this one being a 30-minute version, I think this might grab people. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess I'll talk about the one from Colossal Games, their new one. It's called Lost Empires. I got mixed feelings on this. I think the art looks amazing.
That just now launched?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been getting emails for months, like a year about
that.
Yeah.
It's already funded. There's still 16 days to go as of filming, so still like just under 2 weeks when this pops out. But anyways, this is basically a two-player game with a base game.
Okay.
And you're going to have like four faction decks to pick from. They're all unique. And then there's like objective cards. This kind of makes me think of Redline a little bit.
I was thinking the
same
thing.
And then you're playing cards, but this has got some dice. And so you're basically vying for control. There is an expansion that comes that you can get, Crown of Ashes, which then makes it a up to four player game.
Okay.
So a 1-4 player game with the expansion. So it gives you a solo mode. So, you know, I mean, it's funded. The price point isn't bad. So $25 is just the base game and unlock stretch goals.
It's not bad.
And then $45 gets you the expansion also.
Okay.
Which, so for $20 more,
you get to, that's a big expansion then, because that's almost the price of the game.
Right. Sure. Well, but I think
you're doubling the player.
If you look at the, Kickstarter, I think the MSRP for the expansion is like $40 or $50. Now it's not wanting to load, but but anyways, so if this sounds interesting to you, I would say that there is value in being a Kickstarter backer versus waiting.
Right. If it's something that interests you, it's better to back it than to wait.
Yeah,
for
Yeah, I like the art.
Yes,
I like card games. There was just something about this one that didn't grab me, because actually, like I said, I've been getting emails about this for a long time. There was an email a long time ago where they invited me to, and I'm sure it wasn't special,
whatever.
But
yeah,
they said like play it on TTS with us or whatever, that whole thing, and I just never did it. I probably should have for the show, but it just didn't grab me. Did you just see Brew came out? And that was one we played forever ago on Tabletop Simulator, the game where you're rolling the dice and you're putting them on like the forests and you're getting the animal companions. And then you're brewing potions. It's the only game that you and I have played alone on Tabletop Simulator. But got the email to test out. Like, that came out like a couple months ago or something. It's like blowing up right now. And like, it's crazy because like the box art, I didn't recognize it. Like the box art, because obviously we played pre-components.
Finalized.
And so I saw the box and I saw everything. I was like, oh, I've played this.
Nice.
So yeah, that's kind of cool. But so same thing, Lost Empires. Yeah.
But I mean, it will be interesting. I don't know that I'm rushing out to back it or anything.
Sure.
At a time like this, I would probably rather go for Voidfall.
Right. That's a little bit more, sure.
Yeah. Right? You're not really talking apples to apples.
Yeah. No, not really comparison.
Yeah.
Not really comparison. Bob, you want to talk about the one you got right now?
Yeah. You already saw that?
Yep.
So this one, we talked about it a few times. I wanted to mention it because it's probably the last time I get a chance to before it's going to be ended. Because by the time this comes out, you only got about a week left. Quests and Cannons.
The Risen Islands.
Yes.
Yeah,
Short Hop
too.
Games. We had a really good time reviewing it. We played a 2v2v2. We talked about it there. I was fortunate enough to take it home. I got to play it a couple more times. I really enjoyed the game. Pickup delivery, quest fulfillment, a little bit of like, you know, attacking people to try to sink their ships and whatnot. But the fact that you can play like solo or, you know, versus or 2v2, like, it's really great. It's very versatile. The art on it is super cutesy and, like, you know, family friendly.
But the colors are really vibrant.
Yeah. And like all the asymmetric powers, the ships are like super customizable. Like I really had a good experience.
I mean, it checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
And it's really, for everything that you get and the design of that game, I feel like the price point is really good.
Yeah, I think it was like $100 for the deluxe, and the deluxe is
it's fantastic.
Pretty deluxe.
I mean, it's like their deluxe is cheaper than like an Eagle Griffin
standard edition.
If you guys are interested in this kind of thing too, they are super active on their Facebook
page.
Yeah, I was
actually, check them out.
I thought it was awesome. The other day they shared their first attempt at making some of the stuff, and they showed like the player board made out of cut pieces of cardboard that they like glued together to make it dual layer and stuff, and they were testing out, and I love seeing that stuff.
Yeah.
I
see, like, everything behind the scenes.
And it also, like, Eric Geller, the designer, is really active. Mm-hmm. So again, you reach
out,
he answers questions.
Yep.
He's very accessible.
Yeah.
Which I always think
appreciate,
is cool.
Yeah.
You know, because you're chatting with these guys, you can figure out some of their process and everything. Mm-hmm. Really neat. Yeah,
It's a good one.
Yeah. So, so once this comes out, you got about a week, a little bit more than a week. But if you
definitely
like it,
check it out.
Yeah.
It might not be for you, but it deserves being checked
and
out.
And also their little stop motion animation video.
It's pretty cute too.
With the with that amazing voiceover. Mm-hmm. That's a good video
to
watch.
Me.
Oh.
That wasn't Dan.
It's less good now.
Yeah. Warning. Board Game Rundown lies all the time. Yeah.
Lying liars and the liars who support them. Right. Anyways, Shadowgate. When this comes out, Shadowgate's going to have about a week. I enjoyed Shadowgate. I would like to see it fund. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's kind of low right now.
Yep.
But I would say give it a look.
Yep.
You never know some of these campaigns. Because even Quests and Cannons, for example, it got up to like 235% funded and then just kind of stopped.
Right.
And it has not
moved
very much. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I think that they're going to get a
last push,
last 48-hour bump, and they're going to get a lot further.
Right, yeah. Game Rundown bump. Right.
Well, that's one of the nice things about Kickstarter, too, so you can go to the Shadowgate page, and you can try to back it, and then if it doesn't succeed, they don't take your money.
Right.
But then a lot of times, they'll cancel it, and then when they relist it again,
you'll
get a notification saying, hey, here's an opportunity.
That's something I wanted to talk about
too.
This because, we can be hopeful all we want, but realistically wise, Shadowgate is probably not going to fund this time. But I'm telling you right now,
it'll be
definitely coming back. This is a passion project they've been working on. Mm-hmm. I think there's just been some of the stuff in the marketing of the Kickstarter page. Mm-hmm. I personally am not a marketing manager. I don't do any of this, but even I look at the Kickstarter page, I'm like, this should have been laid out better. I haven't checked how much it's changed, but when I first checked it out on launch, I didn't see the player count for the first half of the page when I was scrolling down. I was like, how many players does it play? I already knew the answer, but I'm just like, that's
right,
the information
things
people
you look
are going to want to know.
Yeah.
And I think that's mostly it because we got a solid game here. Now I don't. I guess I also don't know how much the IP reaches, but I think it reaches enough. And this game will be back, and I say keep an eye on it. Again, it might not be for you. That's fine. But keep an eye on it. I would definitely say that.
Yeah, I agree.
And then I got one more because a person in the comment section said that we should check out a game. Again, I did not write a name down here, but I think it was Robert Silver. I don't think this is another Potato Legion moment, but I think
that was funny.
Okay.
But I think
you weren't here for
I saw that.
That,
though. I think it was Robert Silver, but anyway, yeah, Robert Silver, if it was you, said something like, I bet Dan would like Beast. Right.
Yeah.
So I checked out Beast, and I like Beast.
That's the news. End of story.
That's the news.
So Beast by Studio Midhall. This is only their second Kickstarter. The first thing they did was Beast, and they canceled it.
Sure.
So we'll see how this goes.
This one's funded, though, now, isn't it?
I didn't look, honestly. I didn't write safe next
Beast
to this one.
Oh, I just did. It's not. It is funded.
Okay, so it's safe. So it's a 2-4 player game.
Way funded.
30 minutes per player, so a little long. October 28th, and it's $59 to $85 for the deluxe. So this is a hidden movement 1-verse minigame, something we've been talking about a lot lately.
It's
we're planning
on
doing some more coverage on that kind of stuff soon. But we've been talking about Whitechapel and Mind Mansion. So this is another one of those. So it has asymmetric drafting to where you're drafting and both teams are drafting. So the hidden movement guy and everyone else that are on a team are drafting the same card. So you know what you're handing that person. But the top half of the card is what we do, and the bottom half is what he does. So when you're drafting cards, you can be like, we really need this ability, or we really don't need this ability, but we can't hand him that ability, right? So that's an interesting little drafting mechanic. And then, at the end of the day, he's hidden movement. He's a monster going around killing, eating people or whatever, and we have to find him and fight him and kill him. Mm. So we're hunting him down, looking for the traces and the clues that tell us, oh, that's weird. There's a lot of dead bodies here. I wonder if, did you guys get eaten? one of those. But yeah, so there are six beasts and six hunters to choose from for the both teams by default.
I love the art. I love the look of this game.
I like the art. I like the box. Yep. There are standees, a mixture of standees and meeples, it seems to be, for the components. But yeah, I'm just going to be totally honest. I've talked about this a lot. Hidden movement. It's sucking me in, man. Mm-hmm. It's a big black hole, except the black holes don't actually suck you in unless you cross the event horizon. It's a famous myth.
Whatever. Whatever.
When you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No doubt.
I like learning. All you ignorant humans out there, learn more.
Okay, calm down.
The age of information doesn't really mean much if nobody cares about information.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
So this should have been in news, but whatever. I meant to talk about it. Too Many Bones, Unbreakable.
It's
coming to GameFound in 15 days from when we're filming.
And then Lords of Ragnarok is 17 days away from launch.
I can't get it. First of all, I already have Lords of Hellas. I don't know if it's different. Again, we'll see if it's different
or not. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I doubt it, but we'll see.
And then I thought this was interesting. I just wanted to look it up. That Tiles of the Arabian Nights is $40.
Oh, okay. What did I say?
That's not too bad.
I don't think
I said
did.
45.
Oh, you did? Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, so there's 10 days left, so you'll have like 6 days when this episode pops up. That's on GameFound.com if you want to get Tiles of the Arabian Nights.
Yep. Cool.
But yeah, all pretty cool stuff, right? So we're going into
topic.
Okay, so topic this week is Origins. None of us went to Origins.
Nope.
But I did have friends that went again. Okay. Pat and Julio were there.
Picked up some games, right?
Walking around. Actually, no.
Oh, no.
So this is the news about Origins.
Oh, Board Game Mechanics picked up games at Origins.
Yeah, but not even that many.
Yeah.
Because there was not Origins. According to my sister, Origins was barely worth it this year.
Oh, really?
That's unfortunate.
Well, like Renegade Games wasn't there.
Right.
There was a bunch of bunch of game companies that opted out of Gen Con, and I would say that even more opted out of Origins, right? Or if they did Gen Con, they didn't do Origins.
Okay.
Again, because of the timing this year, they were almost back to back. Like two weeks apart, right?
Everything's like crammed in these last couple months.
Way too close together. I think they hurt, and with it being with the production costs and shipping costs getting higher and more expensive, it's not going to get cheaper anytime soon, that the it's making game companies really question, is it worth it to have a presence at this convention?
Right.
Because game companies rarely make money on conventions.
Wow.
Because of the booth space and then paying people to work their booths. I mean, that's why it's volunteers, right? I mean, getting merchandise there, if they break even, it was a good con. It was a great con if they break even.
I'm actually wondering if Dice Tower Con is going to be the best one of the year, only because they don't ship anything. They purposely keep a warehouse full of all their games, and they just truck it over.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying? And all the people are coming out. I'm just saying, like, when you look at the amount of games that are going to be there, the amount of people that are going to be there, I'm wondering if that's going to be the kind of the big one.
And it's what, in Miami?
I genuinely don't know where
I mean, you're near a...
They're in Florida.
You're near a port.
Right.
That's basically what I'm saying.
That's true, too.
Where we are inland, right? So Origins is in Ohio. Gen Con's in Indy. So logistically, again, the shipping stuff, right? We can get stuff into the United States, and then it gets stuck on the coasts because they don't want to commit the containers to rail cars to bring them inland because they can't get them back out.
Really?
That is a.
I thought the big thing was that they can't. The containers are building up at the ports here in America, and they're not going back overseas.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. I don't know if you guys have seen that picture. There's that picture of all the ships just sitting in the ocean outside the port, and it's like they've been there for almost a week.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Oof.
Like just sitting there waiting your turn. Imagine standing in line for a week.
It's a long time.
A disaster.
I waited for a half hour on the tarmac to
and you're
to
like,
my gate
screw
and
this.
I was, yeah, ready to tear the person's head off in front of me.
Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know that, like I said, Board Game Mechanics did go to Origin, and they picked up some stuff just because they said it was cheaper there, I think, than at wherever they went. Gen Con was the other place they went or whatever.
Yeah, they were at the Gen Con. Or were you talking about what?
Or I think they picked up games at Origin because they found them cheaper than they were at Gen Con or something. They talked about something like that.
Maybe.
But
I was bummed because I was hoping to get, I didn't get the hunger. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for anybody to get me the hunger when at Gen Con. I was like, oh, Origins. And then I was like, hey, if you see the hunger at Origins, like pick it up for me because then we can get it played and we can get a review of it because it's not going to come out to FLGS's until the end of October. So I was hoping we could get like a two week jump on it, right? But Renegade was not there.
Exactly. I was thinking about that. I was like, but Renegade wasn't going to be there. So the odds of that happening were small.
So, anyways, so I think Origins, the impression I got, I think, is that there was a little bit of just disappointment because it wasn't as, I guess it was a disappointment if you were going to buy games. Now, Origins is more of a sit down and play games convention.
And that was going on.
And that was definitely going on. And I believe that everybody still had great experiences with that. But, when you've got both conventions practically like two gigantic conventions right on top of each other, it's really tough.
Yeah, and then followed by this week with Geekway.
And then Geekway also like used to kind of start in the middle
of the
week and go over the weekend. Now it's just like in the middle of a week,
yeah,
which is a real bummer. And they were still selling tickets to Geekway, like
which is too bad, rare. But also like, well, that's kind of what you get. I've been less and less impressed with Geekway. Was awesome when we first started going, and I feel like there's been diminishing returns.
It gets bigger,
because it keeps getting bigger, and I don't know that they know how to adjust down, right? Or you know, or
how to scale up.
They don't know how to scale up, and I think that they just need to not. Mm-hmm. I think they need to make it smaller again. I think that the exclusivity of Geekway is what makes it great.
Sure, the smaller crowds and not having it just so much chaos.
Yes, and because I mean, we specifically had some really negative experiences at that last Geekway because of the way that we had purchased a game that was on a play-to-win table, and there was a group of people. It was Wingspan. Mm-hmm. So Wingspan at the time was not like widely available.
Right.
Right.
It was hard to find them.
It was hard to find at times. We went to an FLGS based in St. Louis that is nationwide on the internet, and we found copies, and we all scooped up copies of Wingspan.
Yep.
We went back to the con because they were on a play to win table at Geekway. And what was happening is that these people in this play to win are these people in this group. There's probably like 10 of them. And we saw this go on all weekend. That's how we know it happened. I think there were like 3 copies of Wingspan. One of the copies was dominated by one group the whole weekend. Because if this was the group, I would walk in, check it in to return it, and then
right behind you, here I come. I'm gonna check that back out.
Hey, can I get that one? Mm-hmm. They would, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, here you go, because it's laid back and nice at Geekway. They were totally taking advantage of it. Yeah, so we had copy of Wingspan sitting on a table.
It should have been linked to table number.
And
a dude
came in and started yelling at my wife and my sister-in-law for hoarding a game and not letting other people play it. Like, right, you need to return that. And then he looked like a real bleeps the cat. For being a when he totally didn't have to.
Double cat there.
Yeah, no, screw it. It was really,
very rude. Because you guys were like, very clear, this is our game.
There's very clear stickers that say play to win on the sides of those boxes. And he didn't look to see if it had those stickers on there. And he assumed that it was that we were
just. And he looked like a real tool when we're like, we own this game.
Yeah, that's our copy.
And he just kind of turned around and walked out. There was like barely any apology.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that dude shouldn't behave the way he was, but the way that Geekway has grown too fast, they are also kind of cultivating that behavior, right? And I hate it.
Yeah,
I really hate it. It made me almost just go like, well, who cares about Geek? Like, I'm like, well, good. Like, that they're not at full attendance. They didn't sell, because Geekway sells out every year. Mm-hmm. It used to be like 800 tickets. Then it went up to like 1,300. You know what
now
I mean?
It's like 2,000 or something.
Yeah, and it's like, no, forget that noise. I mean, I really like going and I have a good time.
Right, you're like, why not just go to a giant convention then at that point, huh?
I just don't want to deal with the jerks.
No, I know. I'm just saying, if Geekway is losing the whole point of it being Geekway to you, you might as well, let's just go to Gen Con and play with the 20,000 people.
Because
everything.
One of the appeals of Geekway was that it was a small con and there was lots of opportunities to win games.
Right.
They had really unique door prizes originally. And then it just turned out everybody just got the same game that went to Geekway. So
yeah,
if
I don't care for it at all.
If 10 people from your gaming group, because that's what we would do, is
a
we would
large
get...
And mess.
Yeah, we'd all go so we could all play all these games, and then we all get the same game.
Oh, look, we have 8 copies of this game that plays 10 people. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, like...
eBay.
Which I well,
no, and because everybody else is doing the exact same thing.
And I do like, though, how they do, like, the like inventors thing, right? So if you've got a game idea, you can take it there, and they've got a little like almost like a proto-spiel thing where like you can play test with people and whatnot, and then they're gonna pick one of those games that will be then produced and given out
that
as one of the
insane.
Prizes. And that's like, I dig that. I think that is pretty cool. But with the rapid growth and expansion and more people coming in, you do allow more of the jerks to come in.
You used
which
to...
is one of the great things about IndieCon. Sorry to cut you off.
But no,
it's like,
go
you know,
for
because
it.
That's a great convention. It's smaller. It's like a limited kind of list.
It's so like 200 people.
Yeah. And so you know you're not going to end up with some random jerk, because if you do, probably he ain't going to be there next year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because so, they send out invites.
Yeah.
And the rule, like IndieCon, and now Geekway says this too, like don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
Like, in their
but they
rules.
Don't really enforce any of that.
I mean, what am I going to do? Chase down that dude that yelled at my wife and get it? Because
right.
I wasn't there when it happened. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I was downstairs. I was actually having an awesome time because I was playing, The Godfather with Patrick.
Oh,
and
Bonacore?
Jeffrey Engelstein from Ludology and Stephen Bonacore. Like, I was, like, high rolling, baby.
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then I go upstairs, and it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, and, you know,
we're a really easygoing group of people and are not antagonistic at all. Because if we were, we would have got back at them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it would have been, it could have like
could've escalated. Gotten uglier.
It could have gotten real ugly.
If we were ugly people.
Yeah.
Well,
visually.
But I mean, like fancy gaming. I love fancy gaming.
Yeah, no, Geekway does a lot of things really
good. Does a lot of things really good. I don't want to poo-poo too much on Geekway because I still really enjoy Geekway. Like, they started doing like escape rooms there.
In case they stop inviting
I'm just saying.
Geekway's not an invite only.
To be fair, yeah, it's not. Anybody can go.
I know.
Yeah, clearly.
And I'm bummed to not be able to go this year because, like, ever since, you know, they started going, I have all my badges still.
Right.
You know, then they started doing like patron coins. So if, like, you enjoy it, you pay a little more, you get first dibs on hotel rooms and you get a little fancy, like, coin, right? And I've got all those coins, but now this year, I'm going to miss it.
Well,
unfortunate.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, the reason I think that I got upset or I am as upset about it as I am is that because it is hard enough to get my wife to go to a convention.
Yeah.
And now you're sullying her experience.
Right.
And now she doesn't want to
go anymore. Yeah.
And, you know, well, now she might be willing to go back next year. You know,
shed some time away.
There's some time away from it and everything.
Sure.
But it is such an awesome opportunity. I've got friends in St. Louis that we have made because of Geekway.
Yep.
And I love seeing them, mm-hmm. even though they pick on me all the time.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
Specifically. Mm-hmm. But it's always a great time to see them. We always play a big game of Cthulhu Wars, you know, and I mean, we do a ton of things and we get to see a ton of games because there's either the games library or the games that that we bring.
Yeah, so, all the people that we know coming there that bring all their, like, new hotness or, like, you know, obscure games.
Yeah, and they do a nice flea market, so you can buy games there.
The trade table.
Math trade. There's a math trade and a trade table. So you do a lot of things.
DC Deck Builder Tournament.
DC Deck Builder Tournament, baby.
Tim's like, all right, I'm back in.
I'm there every...
We're boring, Dan.
It's really good, though.
It is good.
It's really good. And my nemesis, Weird Al, is at the...
Weird Al is...
I haven't been to any of these.
Yeah.
That's the best, is I made my nemesis, my DC Deck Building nemesis, rage quit a game.
Oh.
The DC Deck Builder. It's my crowning achievement. I'll still wear that one. But anyways, so Origins is more of a sit-down convention. And sit down and play games. And so if... Like for the board game mechanics, they're really close to mm-hmm. Columbus. So for them, it's a nice day trip.
Sure.
Like, you know, they do stuff. So like Patrick and Julia who went, they've got friends, you know, Bobby Ramsey.
Yep.
And,
yeah, Bobby's great.
Yeah. And so they hung out with Bobby and they played games and they walked around, you know, they had meetings and things like that too.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it just sounds like some of the shine is off of the cons this year. I mean, Gen Con even was a lot smaller. Attendance
was
way lower.
It was half the tickets, and they still didn't sell out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
yeah. Of the in-person tickets?
Yeah, they only sold half. I can't remember the exact number, but whatever the normal is, they cut it in half for this year, and they still didn't sell out.
They didn't sell out, right.
That's crazy.
And I've seen we've all seen Gen Con sell out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's really interesting time for cons this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see what Dice Tower Con does. I don't even know when that is.
It just finished.
Oh, it just finished?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was the same time as Origins?
I think, when did Origins start?
Last week.
Thursday.
My guess is Dice Tower was early in the week, ended, they went to Origins.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Sure. So it was actually literally the weekend in between Gen Con
and Origins.
Probably, because they go to all those. So they probably scheduled it so that they could go to Gen Con, do their own, go to Origins.
Oof.
I don't know if they did go to Origins, but I mean, they went to Gen Con.
If that was my job, that would be amazing.
Okay. That's what it is. Yeah.
But trying to balance that and still, like, you know, work a job to pay the bills.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But
so
okay.
On that note, make sure you're liking and subscribing and sharing our video.
Right.
Where's that donate button?
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, yeah, this isn't our like PP on conventions topic. Yeah. But
I've gone to Gen Con once and that's it.
I've never been to Gen Con.
Yeah, that's my whole I've never been to Geekway.
I've lived in Indiana for Oh my God, I want to date myself.
Too long.
47
Way too long.
Years?
Yeah, no. Since 1985. So, math. And
yeah, but he wasn't
Gen
born
Con.
In Indiana.
I wasn't born in Indiana.
Right.
Well, yeah, thanks. So, I'm older than 85.
I like that you doubled down on that. I wasn't born in Indiana.
Oh, wait, no, wait. Come on.
But guys, comment. Tell us what cons you've been going to. What are your experiences like?
Yeah, what have they been like? If you went to the Dice Tower Con, I'm wondering how that one did because of how all the other ones have not done.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm wondering.
But yeah, comment on there. Keep engaging with us talking about whatever you want to. You don't have to just talk about that. But yeah, guys, thank you again. Please check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics, Jason and Katie. Okay. They do a weekly podcast, and Jason also has tons of YouTube videos up all the time. He's got a really good one on the hunger, if you're curious about it. So I would suggest if we have not answered enough questions about that for you, check out that video for sure. He's working on Belgian beer race right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's been messaging me. He's all about it. He really enjoys it.
Yeah. So they do a ton of stuff, and I really like them. They're pretty okay. And then also check out our sister channel, the Miniatures Rundown. Dan, do you have anything you'd like to say about the Miniatures Rundown?
Josh, so that you don't say the wrong name this time, is helping host now too.
Yeah, did they do the second X-Wing video? I haven't looked.
They did.
Okay, how'd it go?
I didn't watch it yet.
Oh boy.
I know, I feel bad. Trust me, I'm excited about it. I'm not going to spoil that.
We're not spoiling. We just got some inside information.
You should watch.
But yeah, check out Miniatures Rundown because they talk about painting. There's all the tabletop wargaming stuff. And they do like dally and delve into some other things that are tabletop adjacent. Yep. So it's worth a look. They're pretty nice guys over there.
I also just want to apologize if the guy who said Dan would like Beast, if your name wasn't Robert Silver.
Oh, right.
It might have happened again.
There's a chance that Dan
I'm
was
going
wrong
off
that.
Memory here.
I
didn't write it down or anything.
You blew
I, just,
it.
I read the comment. I appreciated the comment. And I'm going off pure memory from like 4 days ago, right? Or however long ago that was.
Hold on.
Oh, he's looking.
It is. Wait, Robert Silver asked about Voidfall.
Dang.
So, yes. And yes, Robert Silver is a beast. So, yes. And
thanks, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Hopefully it goes by Bob. Yeah, all right, well, hopefully. Dan's gone. So thanks, guys, for watching. For the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I've been Dan.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.
Go do a GoFund Tim right now. The link is in the description. www.kickbobstarter.com. Get us to those conventions, boyos!
Yeah!
Oh, boy. Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.